Rob Nathanson's assistant's number. So
Good afternoon. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue. It's Tuesday, March 2nd. We have one item on our agenda today. It's a public hearing. Before we begin the public hearing, could we please have a roll call?
Yes. Representative Fernandez is absent. Representative Levy.
Representative Levy here by video.
Representative Marsh.
Marsh here by video.
Representative Smith Warner. Is absent. Representative Smith is excused.
Yes.
Vice Chair Pham.
Pham is here by video.
Vice Chair Reschke.
Reschke is present by video.
Madam Chair Nathanson.
Present by video. Thank you for the roll call. A bit of logistics before we begin the meeting. First of all, I would ask that everyone who is not a committee member, please turn your camera off and mute your microphone. We will, as we call on you, then you will remember to turn the camera back on and unmute your microphone. I would like to introduce a special staff person with us today. Deanna is doing interpretation service for us today. So we're going to give Deanna a minute after a few things that I say about the logistics and the testimony. So Deanna, will you please share those first thoughts with people?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Buenas tardes a todos. Cuando llamen a su nombre y sea su turno de hablar, encienda su cámara y micrófono y presente su testimonio. Mientras, si pueden mantener la cámara apagada y el micrófono es silenciado.
Thank you. Another bit of logistics for today.
Yeah. So the call to action is...
There is someone who has joined us who is not on mute and your camera is on. I'll give a moment for everybody to turn your cameras off and microphones off. Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just on the roll call, Representative Fernandez, I think, was replaced on the committee. So I don't know if it's necessary to call his name anymore or not.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Just a point of clarification. Thank you.
I think you are correct. Thank you, Representative Reschke. Now, the next point of logistics, there are quite a few people signed up to testify. There are, I believe, 25 people signed up to testify. I believe we can easily get through our agenda today. I'm going to ask speakers to limit their remarks to 2 minutes. Many of the speakers have submitted written testimony and you can either say the testimony or just share with us the highlights, and we'll be able to read your written testimony. We will not hold our legislators to the same 2 minutes, but if you could keep your comments to maybe three or so, that could help us complete our agenda for the day. Deanna.
Thank you. Debido a la cantidad de testigos que tenemos, parece que tenemos unos 25 testigos hoy. Le vamos a pedir que a cada persona limite su comentario a un máximo de 2 minutos. A los legislativos no le vamos a pedir que lo limiten a 2 minutos, pero sí lo estamos pidiendo que por favor lo mantenga corto, que sea unos 3 minutos.
Thank you. Mr. Alanak, I don't think there are any other logistics before I open the public hearing. I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 2819. Could we please have an introduction of the bill from LRO?
Yes, good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Kyle Easton, Legislative Revenue Office. And House Bill 2819, this is a bill relating to Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit. So just as a quick background on the Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit, or just a reminder in some cases, Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit is based upon the federal Earned Income Tax Credit. And in fact, Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit is simply a percentage of that federal credit amount. Right now, Oregon, under current law, has Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit is equal to 9% of the federal tax credit, Earned Income Tax Credit, or 12% for taxpayers with a dependent under the age of 3 at the end of the tax year. So in addition to Oregon's credit being based off of the federal credit, that also then requires or it bases Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit off of the qualification requirements for the federal credit as well. And one of those qualification requirements is that for a taxpayer to claim the federal Earned Income Tax Credit and subsequently Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit is the taxpayer must report a Social Security number on the return for each of the individuals on the tax return. And because that's a federal requirement, that is then Oregon's requirement as well for Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit. And what House Bill 2819 is doing is it is allowing a qualified resident taxpayer here in Oregon who would otherwise qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit but for that requirement of a Social Security number to claim the Oregon's Earned Income Tax Credit as if they were claiming that federal credit amount. So it'd still be the same percentage applied to that federal credit if that taxpayer would otherwise qualify for that tax credit. And in this case, the taxpayer would use what's known as a, and there's some background in the SMS on this as well, but the taxpayer would use an individual taxpayer identification number when filing their taxes in lieu of that Social Security number. So again, the change here in 2019 is simply allowing a taxpayer filing their Oregon taxes to more or less use that ITIN number in lieu of a Social Security number to qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit.
Any questions? Committee, any questions for Mr. Easton? Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I didn't know if our interpreter needed to interpret what Kyle said in Spanish for the folks that are out there that don't, English isn't their first language. And then I do have a question for Mr. Easton, but I thought I'd ask that first of you.
Yes, thank you, Representative Reschke. I have consulted with the Speaker's office. The translation or interpretation services are available for individual speakers, but there is not an expectation that the entire hearing is translated.
Understood. Thank you. May I continue with my question to Mr. Easton then?
Sir.
Thank you. Mr. Easton, do you have an idea or understanding why the federal government requires a Social Security number for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Yeah, Representative Reschke, that's not, I haven't researched, I guess, how that policy provision came about. It is specified in the Internal Revenue Code, that requirement for the Social Security number. So it is specified in that IRC, specifically requiring that Social Security number. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Easton before we start with our witnesses for today? Okay, I don't see any. We have four legislators signed up to testify. We generally like to take the legislators first or as they appear with us. I'm not looking at the list of participants right now. The first one I'd like to hear from is Representative Jeff Reardon. After that, we will hear from Wensve Campos, Con Pham, and Lisa Reynolds. So, Representative Reardon, are you with us?
I am, but I'm having unmute problems. Oh, there we go.
Thank you. we can't hear you now. I think you might have undone something. There, I can see you now. If you're having technical difficulty, we can move to the next person and come back to you.
I think I have it. Okay.
So. Great.
It wasn't me. It really wasn't. So anyway, I'll start over. And Chair Nathanson, Vice Chair Reschke and Baum, and members of the committee, thank you so much for having me here today. For the record, I am Jeff Reardon, State Representative for District 48, which is outer southeast Portland and Happy Valley. And, you know, the Earned Income Tax Credit does make me think of the adage that it takes a child, takes a village to raise a child. It's our village, this state, that's responsible to ensure that children have a strong start to life. And this credit just puts money right back in the pockets of working people, giving them the ability to care for their children and reducing the need for state resources. The EITC is widely regarded as one of the best tools to support working families with children, and it's received strong bipartisan support. For instance, when we passed the EITC in 2016, it was a 57-3 vote in the House and 26-2 vote in the Senate. And according to a national study, this credit reduces the overall poverty rate by at least 10% and a child poverty rate by 16%. So Oregon's EITC, as you heard, is based on eligibility for the federal EITC, but that excludes families who would otherwise qualify for the EITC based on the amount of wages they've earned. This includes 34,000 taxpaying Oregon families, predominantly Latino and Asian Americans, who file their taxes using an individual taxpayer identification number, or ITIN, as you may know. So House Bill 2819, it just makes things more equitable and extends the credit to all workers who file a tax return and meet the income threshold, including those who file with the ITIN. It just means that one person standing next to another that has an ITIN, the other one has a Social Security number, doing the same work, getting paid the same, they get the same tax credit. That's all it's saying. Those filers do include undocumented workers, student visa holders, some spouses and children of people with unemployment visas, and some survivors of domestic violence. This bill allows all income-eligible workers in Oregon to claim the state's EITC, regardless of how they file their taxes. And it costs roughly $10 million per biennium, which is in the governor's recommended budget. It also gives an additional financial boost and makes up for a federal equity gap. So the federal credit that denies the ITIN filers, and that would be an additional $52 million per biennium. Studies show that families use this EITC in ways that have a significant impact on their lives and their livelihood, and largely goes back into our local economies. Those funds are spent on such things as, you know, fixing a car, buying a used car to ensure they have transportation, catching up on bills, or investing in their children. And even though household budgets are generally pretty tight, many devote some of their EITC to asset building, such as saving for an education or maybe saving for the down payment for a house. Thank you for your time. This is really a targeted way to help people. It's an equitable way to help people that are out there working, they're earning their wages, and they deserve the same tax breaks as other hardworking Oregonians. Thank you very much. I'd be happy to answer questions, but the real experts are sitting behind me, so to speak.
Thank you, Rep. Reardon. Next, Representative Campos.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson. Chair Nathanson, Vice Chairs Pham and Reschke, and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Winsve Campos. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the state representative for District 28, which covers Beaverton and Alloa and sits on the traditional lands of the Atfilati, Cowlitz, Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, and Kalapuya peoples. I want to thank you for this opportunity to testify in support of HB 2819. This bill is important for Oregon because it will bring equity to a program that benefits everyday Oregonians who are working hard to pursue a happy and comfortable life for themselves and their families. HB 2819 serves to expand the Earned Income Tax Credit, EITC, which helps provide security for working Oregonians. EITC allows recipients to bring more money per paycheck and serves to give further economic security. Many of the folks currently benefiting from the EITC work in the agriculture, food processing, retail, or construction sectors. However, though this program helps many Oregon families, there are many more who are in need of but ineligible for the EITC. These currently ineligible families contribute into our tax system and are at the center of many of our critical industries. Yet, for decades, despite their contributions, they continue to be ignored and are practically invisible when it comes to retribution of tax credits. Economic retribution for some and the invalidation of others is a social injustice. The current language of the EITC excludes mixed status households and Dreamers as well. If we as a legislature choose to expand the EITC to families who file their taxes with an individual taxpayer identification number, many of those being Latino or Asian American, we could bring this program to over 30,000 more Oregon families. Their success is Oregon's success, and we can't pass up this opportunity to invest in their futures. These folks are contributing to our communities. They work hard, they pay their bills, and they are Oregonians. Why aren't we treating them like they are? I know what a bill like this could have meant for my family. I know the barriers the lack of access to this kind of financial resource creates. Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, I hope you will hold the Earned Income Tax Credit true to its intended purpose and expand access to the Oregonians who would already qualify if they weren't using an ITIN to file their taxes. We must create and support equity where we can. Thank you so much. And if it's all right with the chair, I've got to hop back to my other committee.
Thank you for being with us. Next is Rep. Pham.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Reschke, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Khan Pham. I'm the state representative for Oregon House District 46. I'm honored to testify in support of HB 2819 to extend the Earned Income Tax Credit for all Oregonians, regardless of their immigration status. The Earned Income Tax Credit is a powerful tool to address poverty by putting money in the pockets of low-income families. Families use this tax credit to make investments that they normally would not be able to afford throughout the year. In the Revenue Committee's recent hearing on racial equity and Oregon's tax policy on February 18th, increasing access to the EITC was mentioned as one of the key ways that we can advance equity in our revenue system. I'm excited that we will be able to do that with this bill. Under Oregon's current system, the EITC is denied to everyone in a household if just one member files their taxes with an ITIN. ITIN filers pay into our revenue system, often working as essential workers who have been at the front lines of this pandemic. They are parents, siblings, and beloved family of U.S. citizens. By excluding mixed status families from the Earned Income Tax Credit, we are denying the meaningful difference the EITC can make to otherwise qualifying families. Passing HB 2819 means that nearly 90,000 U.S. citizens living in mixed status households in Oregon who will benefit from the EITC, most of whom are children. Oregon is made more beautiful by the changing diversity of our neighbors and their households. In our state's policy, it helps them thrive. Mixed status households, many of whom are our neighbors, should receive our support too. From a public health perspective, we understand the multifaceted impacts of adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, including the lifelong impacts of growing up under chronic poverty. By addressing this barrier to accessing the EITC, we can create a healthier state where families and children will be able to gain economic stability and access opportunities to thrive. Therefore, I urge members of the committee to support HB 2819. Thank you.
Thanks for the testimony. Representative Reynolds.
Hello, thank you for having me. Good afternoon, Chair Nathanson, Vice Chairs Pham and Reschke, and members of the House Revenue Committee. For the record, my name is Lisa Reynolds, and I'm the state representative for Oregon House District 36, which covers Portland's west side. I am here and honored to be here today to testify as a sponsor in support of House Bill 2819, which would allow individuals with individual taxpayer identification numbers, or ITINs, to qualify for the state earned income tax credit. My other job is as a pediatrician, and I support this tax credit expansion because it will put money into families' hands. Indeed, one of the reasons I decided to run for office was because I wanted to do more for Oregon families than what I can accomplish in the exam room. Expanding state EITC eligibility is one such way to do that. The federal EITC is one of the most effective anti-poverty programs for families. It has been shown to improve maternal and infant health, as well as the household's children's K-12 school performance, and even the kids' earnings after high school. This is why a group of pediatricians in Boston started a program called Street Cred, which embeds volunteer tax preparers in medical practices to help families access the tax credits owed to them. Extending the EITC, even just the state portion, to holders of ITINs would be but one way for our state to acknowledge the contributions made by our non-U.S. citizen workers. Frontline workers, including child care providers and farm workers, are among Oregon's ITIN holders who pay into our tax system and who would and should benefit from receiving the state EITC. It is an equity issue. House Bill 2918 is an anti-poverty program that brings a little rebalance in our inequitable tax system. I thank Representative Reardon for bringing it forward, and I strongly urge the committee to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Reynolds. Committee, any questions for the legislators before we move on to the next set of witnesses? Okay, I don't see any hands. Thank you for being with us. Of course, you're welcome to stay, but we understand that you're busy and have other hearings and appointments. The next four speakers, and I would invite, I don't know if it's how necessary it is, but I'd like to invite translation, please, as I announce each set of speakers so that people can be anticipating when it's going to be their turn. The next set will be Jessica Maravilla, Martha Sonato, Janet Bauer, and Jackie Vimo.
Me gustaría presentar los siguientes, los que van a hablar, para que se preparen sus testimonios. Las siguientes que van a hablar es la señorita Jessica Maravilla, Martha Sonato, Janet Bauer, y Jackie Vimo.
And then after those four, I will call so that you can be getting ready. After those four, I will call Juan Carlos Lopez, Javier Usse, Araceli Camacho, and Angelica Cortes.
Y para que se estén preparando, los cuatro que voy a llamar después son Juan Carlos López, Javier Usse, Araceli Camacho, y Angélica Cortés.
Thank you for that. And another bit of housekeeping for the committee. Committee members who are with us, it would be great if you would please turn your cameras on. We would like to make sure that the public knows that the committee is present and listening to the hearing. Thanks, Rep. Reschke. Hi there. And Rep. Pham, I know that Reps Levy and Marsh are with us also. First, Jessica Maravilla, please.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson, Vice Chair Pham, Reschke, and members of the committee. I will not need translation today. My name is Jessica Maravilla, and I am the Policy Director for CASA. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in support and on the importance of House Bill 2819 to our immigrant community. CASA is a nonprofit organization that for over 25 years has worked to improve the lives of Latino immigrants and their families through civic engagement, leadership development, coalition building, and policy advocacy across the state of Oregon. I'd like to start by telling you the story of a young girl girl whose father worked as a construction worker and mother in the restaurant industry. As a young adult in college, every penny counted. And although she received the Dean's Scholarship among several others at Lewis and Clark College, money at home was still tight. She was forced to take out small loans every year to support her family. These small loans were relative to the earned income tax credit Oregonians received upon completion of their taxes. Unfortunately, because she lived in a mixed status family with ITIN filers, her family was excluded from this credit that seeks to boost income for workers paid low wages. That young girl was me, and my story is only one example of the 273,000 Oregonians, many in mixed status families like myself, who are excluded from this economic benefit. Federal law requires that individuals with U.S. income, regardless of their immigration status, pay U.S. taxes. However, federal law explicitly bars workers who use an ITIN to file their taxes from their earned income tax credit. Furthermore, earned income tax credit includes the entire filing group if just one person uses an ITIN number. And in effect, earned income tax credit includes everyone in a mixed status household, that is, people that are living with those on lawful status, U.S. citizens, lawful permanent residents, or DACA recipients. This policy of earned income tax credit exclusions further augments the disparity gaps in Oregon by depriving the almost 10,000 DACA recipients and more than 300 temporary protected status residents in Oregon. Through this plethora of exclusionary practices in Oregon, in total, earned income tax credit excludes over 250,000 Oregonians. This is 7% of Oregon's population. Oh, is that the reminder for 2 minutes?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay.
And in fact, Deanna, would you please announce to people who may be startled by that what they heard the 2 minute reminder?
Para que ustedes saben, la campanita que se oye es después de los 2 minutos para recordarle que es limitado su tiempo.
Thank you, Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jessica's organization is CASA. It's not CASA, but it's CAUSA. Is that correct?
Yes, CAUSA. Correct. CA. Yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Jessica, did you have just like 15 seconds to conclude here?
I did. If you will allow me, I'd love to.
Certainly.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Immigrant Oregonians excluded from this impactful economic benefit pay a total of $81 million in property taxes, state income taxes, and sale and excise taxes. The $81 million unauthorized workers contribute to our common good via taxes does not include federal income or payroll taxes, nor taxes paid by U.S. citizens and authorized immigrants in mixed status household. For these reasons and several others mentioned by our community members today and our champions today, we please urge you that you approve House Bill 2819.
Thank you. Next is Martha Sonato.
Hi, hello, good afternoon. Do let me know if you can't hear me as
hear you fine, just you can start now. We hear you great.
Chair Nathanson, Vice Chair Spam, and Reschke and members of the committee, my name is Marta Sonato, and I'm the political director at PECUN, Oregon's Farm Worker Union. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony in support of House Bill 2819, Leave No Worker Behind. PECUN, we represent Oregon's farm workers and low-wage Latinx workers, and we are also proud to co-lead the Leave No Worker Behind campaign. House Bill 2819 would positively impact the lives of Oregonians with ITIN numbers by ensuring they are able to claim the state's EITC, regardless of how they file their taxes, and gives an additional financial boost and strong equity feature of this bill to make up for what the federal credit denies ITIN filers. Last year, we saw a particularly challenging year for Oregonians. The COVID-19 pandemic, wildfires, state budget cuts, and an economic crisis have created a perfect storm for Oregon's working class families. And many of our 34,000 ITIN filers working in essential industries in Oregon, such as agriculture. Farm workers are some of the lowest paid workers, and they are estimated to make $25,000 a year and cannot afford to miss a day of work, even if it puts their health at risk. And their economic well-being is also exacerbated by the intentional exclusion from overtime pay, despite being recognized as essential workers. This is an economic justice and equity priority for our communities. The EITC has been proven to make a profound and meaningful impact in the lives of Oregonians and being able to afford basic needs. The federal EITC brings in more than $612 million per year to Oregon, and the credit reduces the overall poverty rate by at least 10% and the child poverty rate by 16%. The EITC rewards families for work and is one of the most cost-effective means for helping working families. That was very quick. If I can just have an additional few seconds to finish my remarks. I just wanted to say thank you to this committee, and I do hope that this committee can support House Bill 2819 to ensure that I-10 filers are able to access the EITC program. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thank you for showing us how to very elegantly wrap up your remarks at the end. Thank you so much. Janet Bauer.
Hi, good afternoon, Chair Nathanson, Vice Chairs Reschke and Pam, and members of the committee. My name is Janet Bauer. I'm a senior policy analyst with the Oregon Center for Public Policy. My pronouns are she, her, and I really thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 2819. Oregon Center for Public Policy uses research and analysis to expand economic opportunities for low and moderate income Oregonians. For years, we've seen that the EITC is a critical component of opportunity for thousands of Oregon workers who provide critical services for low pay. I will provide some background on this straightforward bill and then say a few words about my recent research on mixed status households that others have mentioned. As to background, the proposal to end our state's exclusion of I-10 filers launched in 2019 as part of the conversation about renewing and increasing the state's EITC. We had important conversations about the harm to families, children, communities, businesses, and our state's economy. And now we hope to conclude this unfinished business this session with House Bill 2819. In the interim, the governor, who is a champion of the EITC, convened several work groups on the state's EITC. One of them looked at eligibility issues and how addressing them can advance racial equity in our state. The Department of Revenue participated fully in those discussions. That committee, which I on eligibility, which I chaired, examined a number of policy changes. In its recommendations, it gave top priority to eliminating the exclusion of I-10 filers. The committee concluded that excluding these vital workers and families in our communities serves no public purpose, but undermines the goal of the EITC to lift up working households being paid low wages. Thank you for your time. I will say in conclusion that the research that I have done on mixed status households is provided in written testimony, and the groundbreaking work included in that was to estimate the number of families who have legal permanent residency status as immigrants. We have known how many US citizens are excluded, but not legal residents. And that's how we have discovered the full total amount of 273,000 Oregonians are denied the credit, irrespective of their eligibility otherwise. Thank you very much for your time and look forward to further discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Jackie Vimo, please.
Thank you. Let's see if it works. There we go. Sorry, can you see me? There we go. So thank you so much. My name is Jackie Vimo. I'm with the National Immigration Law Center, and I'm here to testify in support of HB 2819. My goal here is to talk about the national perspective. I've been working with a number of other states to craft similar provisions, most recently California, Colorado, and Maryland. I testified at their hearing last week. I think that I want to just, you know, my expertise, I've been working for about 25 years in this arena, and my PhD research is also sort of on this kind of tax policy work. And I want to address the urgency of including all taxpayers in the expansion of tax credits and also the issue of the ITIN. And I think that in my experience, the ITIN, the individual taxpayer identification number, is one of the most misunderstood aspects of our nation's tax system. You know, most taxpayers file with a Social Security number, and the purpose of the Social Security number is just that. It's called a Social Security number, and it's to track earnings records for each person in employment covered by the Social Security program. Now, many immigrants are ineligible for Social Security program, but even when you file with an ITIN, you make contributions to the Social Security program. So in 1996, the IRS had begun issuing ITINs so that people could file taxes. Again, the ITIN is just to be able to enable taxpayers to comply with federal law. But what I think another common misconception is that the ITIN also means that a person is undocumented. It turns out that actually you can have an ITIN and not be undocumented. For example, if you're here under federal law with a work visa, but your spouse you know, does not have that same visa, he or she might be granted an ITIN, even though they're lawfully present here. I think that, you know, I want to just mention that driven by the urgency of the COVID-19 pandemic, two states, Colorado and California, passed legislation to expand their EITCs to immigrants last year. And as I mentioned, just last week, Maryland passed their bill. I just wanted to finish by saying that there are at least 10 other states that are going to be looking at similar legislation this year. And, you know, really, this is just clearly the COVID pandemic has given us a sense of why the whole state of Oregon cannot recover unless every Oregonian is covered. And I really hope that Oregon becomes the fourth state to pass an immigrant inclusive EITC. So thank you for your time and the opportunity to testify. And I'm also happy to answer technical questions.
Thank you, each of you, the last four speakers. Committee members, do you have questions for these last four? Okay. Deanna, will you please explain what I'm going to announce now? I want to make sure that everyone understands that any of the speakers that we hear today or anyone else, we keep the public record open for 24 hours since the beginning of this meeting today. So if there's someone who wants to submit written testimony, you still have an opportunity to submit written testimony.
Quiero explicar que cualquier persona que quiere dar su testimonio hoy, el archivo va a ser público y mantenido abierto por los siguientes 24 horas desde el momento que empezó esta audición. Así que si alguien quiere agregar algo o una declaración o un testimonio por escrito, todavía tiene 24 horas para hacerlo.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next four speakers will be Juan Carlos López, Javier Usse, Araceli Camacho, Angelica Cortez.
Los próximos cuatro presentadores serían Juan Carlos López, Javier Usse, Araceli Camacho y Angelica Cortez.
Juan Carlos López.
Señor Juan Carlos López, adelante.
Estimados miembros del comité, mi nombre es Juan Carlos López Vaca y vivo en el área del Washington County. Soy papá,
dear
esposo
members,
y dueño de...
Permítame. Dear members of this committee, my name is Juan Carlos López Vaca, and I live in the Washington County area.
Soy padre, esposo y dueño de un negocio, de un pequeño negocio de comida que se llama Lobos Street Food. Y estoy aquí en apoyo a la propuesta de ley 2819.
I'm a dad, a husband, and an owner of a small food business called Lobo Street Food. I'm here in support of the House Bill 2819.
Es muy importante incluir los ITIN y los tributarios porque somos miembros de la comunidad y de la economía del Estado. Yo he pagado mis impuestos. Llevo 3 años que vendo en el Farmers Market.
it is very important to include the I-10 users in the tributary credit because we are members of the community and of the state's economy. I've paid taxes for 13 years, and I've always known of the credit, but I've never had access. I sell food at the farmer's market for 3 years.
Tengo un puesto en el farmer's market y he tenido una buena experiencia y aceptación de la comunidad.
I have my own stand at the farmer's market, and I have had a good experience of acceptance from the community.
Durante la pandemia hubo muchas incertidumbres. Nadie estaba preparado para una pandemia. Los negocios pequeños sufrieron mucho.
During the pandemic, there were many uncertainties. Nobody was prepared for a pandemic. Small businesses suffered much.
Decidí no vender porque mucha gente no quiso salir a las calles a comprar comida y así no habría clientes. Yo trabajo en farmers markets vendiendo comida, entonces durante las temporadas perdí mucho en mi negocio.
During the pandemic, I apologize. I work in the farmers market selling my food. I'm going to ask him to repeat that. I'm sorry, I kind of lost part of it there in the hearing. Discúlpame, señor, ¿me lo puedo repetir? Porque perdí un poquito de audición.
Claro. Debido a la pandemia, la gente no quiso salir a las calles. Por lo tanto, no habría clientes.
Gracias. During the pandemic, many people didn't want to go out to the streets, and so we lost a lot of clients during that time.
Usualmente trabajo en restaurantes con un part-time y durante esa temporada me despidieron cuando empezó la pandemia.
So I usually work in restaurants, part-time work, and during this pandemic I was let go, I was fired.
Después volví a trabajar en otro restaurante y me volvieron a despedir cuando volvieron a cerrar el estado.
And then I started working in another restaurant, and they fired me also when the pandemic shut everything down.
En realidad no había mucho trabajo para las personas. Era difícil pagar las facturas. Especialmente fue muy difícil para la comunidad de negocios pequeños porque no pueden aplicar a las becas y préstamos con UNITIN.
There wasn't a lot of work for people, and it was difficult to pay bills. It was mostly difficult for the small business owners because it was difficult to apply for grants who had an I-10 number.
Tener acceso al crédito me ayudaría muchísimo con mi familia y con mi negocio. Me ayudaría a pagar las facturas de mi familia y a crecer mi negocio y recuperar lo que perdí durante la cuarentena.
With access to the credit, it would help me a lot for my family and my small business. It would help me pay my family's bills and expand my business to recover what I lost during the quarantine.
Estoy muy orgulloso de vender comida veracruzana. Y una de mis misiones es contribuir a la comunidad. La comunidad inmigrante contribuye mucho. Y detrás de cada persona inmigrante en Oregón hay una historia.
I'm very proud to sell Veracruz food in Oregon, and one of my missions is to be able to contribute to the community. Behind every immigrant family in Oregon, there is a story.
Señor López, thank you for the testimony. I will allow just a few seconds to wrap up.
Señor López, gracias por su testimonio. Voy a permitirle unos segunditos más para que pueda cerrar.
Sí. Nosotros como trabajadores en Oregón, aparte de buscar mejorar nuestra calidad de vida y la de nuestras familias, estamos compartiendo lo mejor de nuestra cultura. Estoy muy orgulloso que Pecún y Causa están luchando para pasar esta propuesta. Los usuarios de ITIN somos una gran parte de la comunidad. Insisto en pasar esta ley 2819 para apoyar a todos los trabajadores en Oregon.
We as workers, besides looking for a better life for ourselves and our families, we're sharing our culture with the community of Oregon. I am very proud that Pecún and Causa are fighting to pass this proposal because I-10 users are a huge part of the community, and I insist on passing the bill 2819.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Gracias por su testimonio.
The next speaker will be Javier Use, and I want to emphasize that we are allowing, we've been allowing 2 minutes per speaker, but we need to allow 2 minutes for translation, plus a little bit of extra time just because of the transition and so forth.
El siguiente presentador va a ser Javier Use, y quería clarificar de que nosotros estamos permitiendo 2 minutos para cada presentador, pero también estamos permitiendo 2 minutos más para la traducción y un poquito más para la transición.
Gracias, Diana. Javier Use.
Señor Javier.
I'd like need to tell them how to unmute.
Star 6.
Si Javier, si usted está en la línea y está por teléfono, por favor oprime estrella 6 para que le podemos escuchar.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I won't need a translation. I'm going to put a practice in my English. Well, I'm going to start saying, you know, chairs, a member of this committee. My name is Javier Urenda. I live in the Washington County. And I'm here to support the bill HB 2819. What I feel is like everyone needs to receive equal tax benefits, no matter their immigration status. I'm being participated as a volunteer in a tax preparation to Cash Oregon, an organization that provides free tax services to underserved community. And sadly, you know, I noticed, I've been seeing that many, many of the clients with ITIN numbers were not eligible to receive the earned income credit because of the credit is only available for people with social security number. The eligibility criteria is again to our social values and needs to be fixed. It is important that everyone deserve the same tax benefits because all of us are contributing to build a strong community. I recommend in passing this bill, HB 2919, to make eligible to those who has an ITIN can receive this earning income credit benefits to provide equal tax benefit to everyone. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony.
Gracias por su testimonio.
And I apologize for the last name. What was printed on my list was clearly not your real last name.
Urenda Camacho.
Next, we will hear from Araceli Camacho, and I'll announce in advance. After that is Angelica Cortez, then Marcela Polino, and Mario Ortiz Palafox.
La siguiente presentadora es Araceli Camacho. Después de ella va a seguir Angelica Cortez, Marcela Polino, y Mario Ortiz Palafox.
Araceli.
Sí, buenas tardes. Buenas tardes, señor. Buenas tardes, miembro de este comité. Mi nombre es Araceli Camacho. Vivo en el condado de Clackama y soy voluntaria del Banco de Comida.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Araceli Camacho. I live in Clackamas County and I'm a volunteer with the Oregon Food Bank.
Soy madre de 3 hijos, 2 de los cuales son nacidos en este país.
I am a mother of 3 children. 2 of them were born in this country. Adelante.
¿Sí me escucha?
Can you hear me?
Sí. Yes. Sí.
Señora Araceli, ¿sí estás ahí?
Does Araceli Camacho have written testimony on the record?
¿Tiene testimonio por escrito la señora Araceli Camacho? Madam Chair, I have a written testimony for Ms. Araceli Camacho.
Let's make sure that we have that on the record. I'll allow just another few seconds to see if there's a technical problem. Maybe we can come back later.
Voy a permitir unos segunditos más a ver si tiene problemas técnicas con su computadora y si no, entonces le vamos a permitir que su testimonio sea introducido como parte de esa audición. Y si no, vamos a volver en unos segundos más a ver si ella está bien.
Deanna, I'm still not hearing anything. I think we need to move on to the next speaker.
Vamos a seguir adelante con la próxima presentadora.
Next, we will hear from Angélica Cortés.
Con la señorita Angélica Cortés.
Hola, mi nombre es Angélica Cortés. Buenas tardes. ¿Sí me escucha?
Hello, my name is Angélica Cortés. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sí.
Okay. Buenas tardes, mi nombre es Angélica Cortés, vivo en el condado de Manoma. Soy una residente que apoya a distintas organizaciones sin fines de lucro como el Oregon Food Bank.
Hi, my name is Angélica Cortés. I live in Multnomah County. I'm a community member who supports various I'm a community resident who supports various nonprofit organizations, for example, the Oregon Food Bank.
Mi esposo es ciudadano americano, madre de un hijo nacido en este país.
My husband is a U.S. citizen, and I'm a mother of children born in this country.
Yo me dirijo a ustedes para solicitarles su apoyo con la propuesta de ley HB 2819, no dejar a ningún trabajador atrás.
I'm addressing you today requesting your support on passing the House Bill 2819, Leave No Worker Behind.
Soy una persona que trabaja, paga sus impuestos y no tengo derecho a un reembolso por parte del gobierno.
I am a worker who pays her taxes and I don't have the right for the refund for the earned income tax credit.
En estos momentos tan difíciles como la pandemia, no tengo derecho a un seguro médico ni a servicios sociales, por ejemplo, el acceso a estampillas.
During this difficult time with the pandemic, I do not have the rights to receive benefits such as health insurance or other resources like food stamps.
Si la ley 2819 fuera aprobada, me beneficiaría muchísimo porque así yo no tendría que trabajar doble para cubrir mis necesidades básicas como pagar mi renta, mi luz y comida saludable y gastos médicos.
If the HB 2819 was approved, greatly benefit me. I would not have to work two jobs, and I would have money to pay for such basic needs as rent, electricity, healthy food, and medical expenses.
Sería para mí un factor importante para poder convivir más con mi familia, aprovechar mejor el crecimiento de mi hijo e involucrarme más en la escuela.
It would be an important factor because I could spend more quality time with my family, be more involved in the growth and development of my children and my child's school.
Me beneficiaría muchísimo en mi salud porque no tendría tanto estrés que me lleva a experimentar condiciones de salud críticas que son diabetes, dolor de espalda.
My health would also benefit because I would not have such high levels of stress that lead me to experience diabetes and chronic back pain.
Todos los trabajadores, sin importar su lugar de origen, deben de poder ganar suficiente dinero para poder llevar una vida saludable, cómoda con sus familias.
All workers, putting aside their place of origin, should be able to earn enough support to support their families and lead a healthy and comfortable life.
Aprecio mucho su apoyo y gracias.
I am grateful for your support, and thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Gracias por su testimonio.
Next, Marisela Polino.
La siguiente es Marisela Polino.
If
Marisela Polino is with us. We cannot hear you. You may be on mute. Please try Estrella 6.
Señora Marisela, si usted está con nosotros y nosotros no la podemos escuchar, si está llamando por teléfono, por favor, marque Estrella 6 si está en silencio su audición.
¿Sí me escuchan?
Do you hear me?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Sí, la escucho. Gracias.
Buenas tardes. Saludos, good miembros de este comité.
Good afternoon.
Mi nombre es
I'm greeting the members of this committee.
Mi nombre es Marisela Polino. Vivo en el condado de Multnomah.
My name is Marisela Polino, and I live in Multnomah County.
Soy voluntaria del Oregon Food Bank.
I'm a volunteer at the Oregon Food Bank.
Me dirijo a ustedes para solicitarles apoyo en la propuesta HB 2819.
I'm addressing you today to request your support for HB 2819.
Formo parte de la comunidad y soy parte de las personas afectadas por usar un número ITIN.
I form a part of this community and I'm also an individual being affected because I utilize an ITIN number.
Que ha sido incluida, excluida del crédito tributario.
Have been excluded for the earned income credit benefits.
Siendo afectada aún teniendo mis hijas nacidas en este país.
I have been affected even though my children were born in this country.
Mi familia no tiene la oportunidad de tener y recibir un mejor nivel de vida y acceso a recibir lo justo.
My family has not had the opportunity of a better quality of life or access and receive what is necessary.
Para cubrir las necesidades esenciales.
To cover the essential needs.
Nuestra comunidad ha sido y sigue fuertemente afectada y sufriendo por la pandemia y los sistemas de inequidad racial.
So our family and community has been highly affected by the pandemic, and we have also been affected by inequality.
Les pido tomen en cuenta nuestra comunidad afectada, que trabaja diariamente en trabajos esenciales.
I'm requesting that you consider our affected community of essential workers.
Para brindar un futuro mejor a sus familias y a la comunidad en general.
To bring a better future to our families and our community as a whole.
Quien trabaja con el único fin de tener un mejor nivel de vida.
Those that work in agriculture can have a better life.
Que trabajan muchas ocasiones dobles jornadas y con salarios mínimos.
Many of us work double shifts and sometimes only receive minimum wage.
Siendo excluidos de beneficios tributarios por usar un número ITIN.
We have been excluded from the earned income credit benefit because we have an ITIN number.
Con el único deseo de salir adelante y apoyar a la economía de este país.
As we only wish to move forward and to contribute the economy of this country.
Les pedimos reflexionen y apoyen en esta propuesta HB 2819.
I ask you to reflect and support on passing the House Bill 2819.
Que beneficiaría a miles de personas en nuestro estado.
That would benefit thousands of people in our state.
Incluyendo familias, niños y trabajadores de bajos recursos. Muchas gracias.
Including family, children, and workers of low income. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Gracias por su testimonio.
After the next speaker, who will be Mario Ortiz Palafox, I will call on Carla Cruz and Minerva Vasquez.
Después del siguiente presentador, voy a Mario Ortiz Palafox, voy a llamar a Carla Cruz y Minerva Vázquez.
Mario Ortiz Palafox.
Mario Ortiz Palafox.
Representative Nathanson, Mario will not be able to testify anymore, but he has submitted a testimony for the record.
Thank you for letting me know. Next will be Carla Cruz.
And while we're waiting to hear from Carla Cruz, committee members, did you have any questions for any of the previous four or five speakers before we get too far past? Okay, thank you. Carla Cruz.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. I would like to introduce myself. My name is Carla Cruz, and I'm a tax accountant here in Washington County and in Multnomah County, where I have two offices. I am a resident of Washington County, and I am an Oregonian. My business is Cruz & Associates, income tax and accounting. In the 24 years that I have serving as an accountant, and being within these 24 years, the earned income credit has never been a credit that has been distributed. I focus, and one of the niches that I focus in my practice is focusing with the Latino community. And so the endeavors and all of the resistance within the applications of the law and what it does to our community. I would like to say that you know, my insistence on the approval of HB 2819, Leave No Worker Behind, is not only something that in this discussion, I haven't heard many people focus and also state Dreamers and TPS holders, you know, also can be affected regarding the lack of the Social Security process. That is one of the things, you know, that identifying what and how it benefits a community. States as Colorado and California last year have approved these types of bills and have seen to a sense that this in reality does not exclude or give it doesn't do anything to serve a public purpose. It won't affect. The other thing that I want to focus on is also individuals on how this affects individuals on feeling part as though they are actually a resident of the state. I would like to just finish off by saying that, you know, in the state of Oregon, a lot of individuals who pay taxes and are frontline workers, individuals who are there consistently in our communities, day in and day out, as I see individuals come into my practice for taxes, whether they're owning a business, whether they're self-employed, and or whether they're employees, they're faced with the troubles and turbulences of unfortunately not being able to give these different benefits to their family. Loans that I also see a lot of business owners obtain because one of their spouses that they are claiming on the tax return cannot now collect these credits. That amount is something that this is not only for the equity, you know, and anti-poverty, you know, stretches that we need to work on for this state. I want to beg you from the bottom of my heart and from seeing this with all the compassion that I have, as also a volunteer to a lot of organizations that we focus on the Latino and immigrant community, I'm here begging you to consider this and to please pass HB 2019. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Marsh.
Thank you, Ms. Cruz. I just had a quick question for you. If you can come back to the virtual room.
Representative Marsh, go ahead and ask your question while she's...
The question is this. We struggle with low adoption of the income tax credit. We can't get people to sign up for it. And if this bill passes and we expand the population that's eligible, I think we have a job in front of us to make sure that those individuals know about the opportunity and in fact do sign up. And as a CPA and as someone who is clearly working with these issues and with these communities, I think your guidance and your creative thought about how we do the outreach and how we convince people that this is to their benefit will be really important. And I guess I was looking for comments, but that came out as more of a less of a question.
Senator Marsh, I can also respond to that. Jessica from GOSA here. I believe that your comment is actually spot on, and there will be an education campaign that will be needed to educate our community in saying that this is safe. In doing so, I do believe that once the community is aware of the benefit that this brings about, it'll be a very easy education campaign. And we can definitely, GOSA, Bikun are ready to strategize on best practices and how to approach that.
Great, thank you.
Thank you for responding on behalf of Ms. Cruz, who was not available for the response.
Oh, I'm here. I wasn't. I just would like to say that I would work alongside any organization, and also, you know, give that type of advice for the volunteering that I do. On any other suggestions or you know, assist in any type of way that I can. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the responses, both of you. Next, we will go to Minerva Vasquez. After that, we will hear from Wimmer Garcia and Newell Ching. So Minerva Vasquez, please.
Representative, I believe they are in the waiting room. They've been there for a while. I'm not sure if they can be let in.
If they had not provided us phone numbers in advance, or if there are different phone numbers, we may not have been able to identify them. I'm going to call on the next person while we look into that. Is Laurie Wimmer available?
Yes, Madam Chair, I am. Just a moment. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Vice Chairs, and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer, representing the 41,000 members of the Oregon Education Association. And I'm honored to testify today in support of House Bill 2819 because it will improve the lives and therefore the learning of our students. We support adding households with tax ID numbers to the EITC because of what we know about our students and how they learn. More than 50% of our K-12 students are from low-income households, with more than 20% meeting the federal definition of poverty. We also know that our students' out-of-school lives account for 90% of their time, and so those intersectional external factors of racism, poverty, violence, lack of medical and dental access, housing and food insecurity, and family trauma have an outsized impact on student success. According to research by educational psychologist David Berliner, out-of-school variables such as those I've just described account for about 60% of the variance in student achievement. And in my written testimony, I've cited a number of research articles for your benefit if you'd like to see that work. Here in the United States, we have the biggest income inequality gap of all wealthy nations. Education researchers tell us that better design of economic and social policies can do more to improve education than can in-school interventions. By reducing the income and wealth inequality gaps, families have a shot at thriving. As my friends have heard me say for decades, it's hard to educate a student who is hungry, hurting, or homeless. The Oregon legislature and the voting public have done much to bridge this most urgent of opportunity gaps. Knowing that we must ensure that there exist enough jobs to provide families a living wage to improve educational outcomes, you all have focused on economic development. You've raised the state minimum wage, preschool, and other early education programs have come on board, and recent efforts to expand access have been successful. We've begun to fund some of the great need for summer learning programs. Nutrition programs have been expanded. Healthcare access covers many more Oregon children, and a laser focus on housing and homelessness is robust in this body. We know that one more significant way to make meaningful change in the lives of our students is to expand the ability of our working poor to use the EITC. And so OEA asked this body to do that. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Do we have a Garcia available? From Cache, Oregon.
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm working on my technology here. Hello, okay. So yes, my name is Magali Garcia. I'm with Metropolitan Family Service, Cache, Oregon. We provide free tax services to low and moderate income families. I'm hearing all the statistics and the numbers, and we at Cache, Oregon Metropolitan Family Service see the faces of the hardworking Oregonians, like Adela and her two teenage daughters, Jessica and Yesenia. As you know, they turn 18 and 19, and as you know, they don't qualify to get the child tax credit, because the child tax credit ends when a child turns 17. So this hardworking mother, single mother, who works as a janitor in a graveyard, comes every year to Cache, Oregon to seek for our help. And when those children stop getting the child tax credit, and there was government stopped providing for Adela any other resources to keep her two daughters in school. So now these two daughters are going to PCC. Adela doesn't have a way to provide for those two daughters. And so, and let me just mention that those two daughters are American citizens. They were born in this country. So we are penalizing Jessica and Yesenia because of the status of her mom. So it's more likely that Yesenia and Jessica are going to be dropouts from school. So what do we do for these members of society? What can we do? What can we do for this essential worker like Adela? So just to wrap it up, I plead to you, Madam Chair and members of this committee, to please pass, approve this House Bill 2819, because it's to the benefit of the whole society. Okay, thank you so much for your time, and please go and make Oregon an example for the country. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I think we may have figured out how to connect with Minerva Vasquez if it's a different number than what we had on the witness list. Is there a Minerva Vasquez available?
Hello. Hello. Mi nombre es Minerva Vasquez. Soy trabajadora campesina desde hace 15 años en Oregon.
My name is Minerva Vasquez, and
one moment, please. Minerva, thank you. We will have translation available.
Disculpe, Minerva. Ahora sí, por favor.
Okay. Soy trabajadora campesina desde hace 15 años en Oregon.
I am a farm worker for the last 15 years in Oregon.
Hoy estoy testificando a favor de la propuesta de la ley 2819.
Today I'm testifying in favor of the House Bill 2819.
Los trabajadores campesinos realizamos un trabajo muy pesado, pero muy importante, ya que nuestras
madres. Es que casi no la escucho. I'm losing her connection. ¿Me lo puede repetir, por favor?
Okay. Los trabajadores campesinos realizamos un trabajo muy pesado, pero muy importante.
As farm workers, we provide a hard but very necessary job.
Ya que por nuestras manos pasa la comida que llega a nuestras mesas. También con nuestro trabajo aportamos a la economía del estado.
Through our hands pass the food that reaches your table. And we also contribute to the state's economy.
Desafortunadamente los campesinos no somos bien pagados. Sobrevivimos cheque a cheque, cubriendo las necesidades básicas con pocos recursos que limitan a tener un futuro mejor.
Unfortunately, farm workers are not paid very well. We survive check by check, covering our basic needs with little resources that limit us to have a better future.
mi esposo y yo hacemos impuestos con nuestro número de ICI y no somos elegibles para recibir el crédito tributario por ingresos de trabajo. Este crédito es fundamentalmente para las familias de bajos ingresos porque representan un mejor futuro para nuestra familia.
My husband and I do our taxes with an ITIN number, and we're not eligible to receive that earned income tax credit. That is essential to low-income families because the credit represents a better future for our family.
Todo trabajador merece tener una vida digna, y para muchos de nosotros, el sueño más grande es poder comprar una casa. Un sueño que en este crédito podría ayudarnos a ahorrar y cumplir ese sueño.
Every worker deserves to have a dignified life, and for many of us, this credit could help us fulfill a dream.
Eso nos ayudaría a tener acceso a este crédito. Significa que mucho, porque ayudaría a cubrir renta, facturas, la comida, la ropa y la educación de mis cuatro hijas y su futuro como profesionista. También este crédito podría darnos oportunidad de tener acceso a la revisión médica y prevenir las enfermedades, lo que significa un futuro más sano para mí y mi familia.
Having access to this credit could mean a lot for us to cover different bills like rent, food, and education for our four daughters and their futures. This credit could also give us the opportunity and the chance to have medical checkups and prevent diseases, which mean a healthier future for me and my family.
Les urjo por ello que voten a favor de la propuesta de la ley 2019, porque todos los trabajadores, todos merecemos recibir las mismas oportunidades y los mismos beneficios.
I urge you to vote in favor of House Bill 2819 because every worker deserves to receive the same opportunities and the same benefits.
Por su atención, muchas gracias y espero que, urjo que voten por ese. Por ese apoyo que necesitamos a la propuesta 2819. Gracias.
Thank you for this opportunity, and I just thank you for considering to vote a favor to this proposal of 2819.
Thank you for your testimony, and I'm glad we were able to connect.
Gracias por su testimonio, y me da mucho gusto que pudimos conectar.
Okay, gracias a ustedes. Buenas tardes.
I also thank you.
The next four speakers are Matt Newell-Ching, Britt Conroy, Chris Coughlin, and Alicia Temple.
Good afternoon, Chair Nathanson, and Vice Chairs Reschke and Pham, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Matt Newell-Ching, and I am the public policy manager at Oregon Food Bank. Oregon Food Bank distributes food through 20 regional food banks throughout the state, which in turn distribute food to 1,400 local agencies in every community throughout the state. We have submitted written testimony for the record, and I don't want to repeat points that have already been made. If I can just use my time to talk a little bit about the pandemic. So much of our job during the pandemic has been to fill the gaps and the pandemic has laid bare where there are gaps in meeting people's needs. There were gaps in normal times, or in the before times, I should say, and the pandemic has just really laid bare these inequities. So when somebody has trouble accessing a program like unemployment insurance, that's when we see more people turn to food banks. When people are excluded from programs like SNAP and the Earned Income Tax Credit, that's when we see more people from food banks. And many immigrant families have been excluded, not just from the Earned Income Tax Credit, but other programs like SNAP and TANF and other programs we see. That's why we see more people seeking need during these times. And so. So much of what we're trying to do is look at how do we emerge stronger? I mean, how do we not just return to normal, but how do we build a brighter future? How do we build more resilient systems? How do we build a stronger Oregonian so that our families are able not only not just to weather the crisis, but really truly to thrive? House Bill 2819 is a piece of that fabric in ensuring that families have the resources to make sure that kids can fulfill their dreams, can succeed at school. The EITC has such strong four decades of solid research showing that we have increased health outcomes, increased educational outcomes. Kids who live in households that receive the EITC earn more as adults after receiving the EITC. thank you so much for your time. Thank you for having this hearing. Please support House Bill 2819.
Thank you. And the last few speakers, if you can stay with us just for another few minutes, I will ask the committee if they have questions at the end here. So stick around in case there's a question, please, if you can. Next is Britt Conroy.
Hi, my name is Britt Conroy, and I serve as Public Policy Director of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. EMO is a statewide association of over 150 Christian denominations, congregations, ecumenical organizations, and interfaith partners working together to improve the lives of Oregonians, including through direct service programs. These programs feed the hungry in partnership with Oregon Food Bank, house those in need, support those living with HIV and AIDS, protect survivors of domestic violence, resettle refugees, and provide opportunity to tens of thousands of Oregonians every single year. With our core values and these community members in mind, EMO supports HB 2819, which would allow all income-eligible workers in Oregon to claim the state's EITC regardless of how they file their taxes. The EITC boosts worker economic security by raising families' take-home pay, helping families afford rent, groceries, and other necessities. Passing House Bill 2819 means that 90,000 U.S. citizens living in mixed-status households in Oregon will benefit from the EITC, most of whom are children. Many of those who would benefit under HB 2819 are Oregon's essential workers, including those working in agriculture, food processing, retail, and construction sectors. These Oregonians are not just essential workers, of course, they are essential, period. To enable those who file using an I-10 to claim the EITC and support their families is to recognize the human dignity of each member of our state. HB 2819 furthers our state's collective work to create a government that is more fully responsive to human needs and aspirations. We are called to act in solidarity with those on the margins to establish social and economic systems that encourage, enable, and empower all people. We urge you to pass HB 2819 and ensure our most vulnerable neighbors have an opportunity to thrive. Thank you.
Thank you for the testimony. Next is Chris Coughlin.
Thank you very much. Chair Nathanson, Vice Chair Pham, Vice Chair Rushke, and members of the committee. For the record, my name's Chris Coughlin. I'm the Policy Advocacy and Engagement Director at Our Children Oregon. Our Children Oregon's mission is to be a voice and force for the common good for all Oregon children, ensuring all children have the resources and opportunities they need to reach their full potential. We elevate data and lived experience to prioritize children and center communities. I'm pleased to be here today to speak in support of House Bill 2819. House Bill 2819, Leave No Worker Behind, to end the ITIN exclusion for Oregon's EITC, is a priority bill on the 2021 children's agenda. I also want to call attention to a document, part of the testimony on OLIS, that pulls together the coalition fact sheet of the Leave No Worker Behind campaign. You heard that Bikun and Khalsa are co-leading the campaign, but they have been joined by more than 40 other organizations from across the state on this important issue. And so I hope you'll take a look at that and see the range of organizations that are even growing day to day, and we will continue to add to that. But this is a strong coalition, and you've heard today both from advocacy organizations like myself that you're used to hearing from, but also from many community members about how important this issue is. And you had a hearing a couple weeks ago about the racial equity lens looking at our revenue system. And then today you've heard from community. And just want to note that House Bill 2819 is an opportunity for you to address an important issue of racial equity within our revenue system and to increase the flow of dollars to undercompensated immigrant communities throughout Oregon. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Alicia Temple.
Yes. Hi, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. My name is Alicia Temple, and I work for the Oregon Law Center, and I'm also a co-chair of the Human Services Coalition of Oregon, here today in support of House Bill 2819. You've heard a lot already about how important it is to extend the EITC to Oregonians who are already working and paying taxes but are currently excluded. And I just wanted to briefly emphasize that the EITC is Oregon's most effective way to bring families out of poverty. So OLC has many clients who benefit from the earned income tax credit. When a client comes to us regarding the EITC, it's because something has gone wrong, which puts us in a unique position to see in real time the impact this money has on a family. One quick example is a couple who had immigrated to the United States with their four children as refugees. The husband was working as a dishwasher at New Seasons until he was terminated after becoming injured on the job. The wife worked at Walmart and earned minimum wage. They were relying on the EITC to make it through this tough time, but instead the IRS froze their refund and audited the return, which we know too often happens to low-income families. While the audit was pending, the family was unable to pay their rent and their landlord began eviction proceedings. They were able to prevail in their case just in time and got the money from the EITC, and they were able to use that to pay their rent. The EITC was literally the only thing that stood between them and homelessness. There are many families that would be eligible for the EITC in our state, but who are currently excluded because they file their taxes with an ITIN number. Addressing systemic racism in our government systems is often really complex and can be difficult, but House Bill 2819 is an easy way that we can do that. This legislation is straightforward and can help address this federal policy that unnecessarily discriminates against many of our state's workers and their families. We ask for your support for House Bill 2819.
Thank you for the testimony. Thank you to everyone. Manny, is that the last of the people who registered for testimony in today's public hearing?
Madam Chair, this is Donita. Manny is having technical issues. That I believe that concludes your witness registration.
Thank you. Thank you for stepping in. I appreciate it. Thank you to all of the participants. Thank you to the committee members for your patience as we worked through some of the technical issues here. Committee members, do you have any questions for any of the presenters or questions for LRO or any comments to share while we're still in our public hearing on 2819? I'm not see. Oh, I think I saw, yes, Rep. Pham. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I don't have a question, but just wanted to express appreciation to all the speakers and also the people who coordinated. I know this is a lot of work to coordinate the multilingual interpretation and to get all these diverse voices. And I just wanted to express appreciation for the people who testified today.
Representative Marsh, did I see your hand? Did I skip something?
No, Madam Chair, I think you do.
All right. Representatives Levy or Reschke, anything before I move on to LRO? Mr. Alanak, do you have anything else to add, any points to make or to amplify on anything that we've heard in the presentations or to expand on LRO's initial explanation?
I think, Madam Chair, give Kyle a second here to chime in, but I think the work that before us would be to work on the revenue impact statement. I heard a number of estimates or numbers or figures in the testimony today, so we may be reaching out, but we'll work on the revenue impact estimate as well as any of the logistics related to claiming the tax credit.
Thank you. Mr. Easton, anything to add? Okay.
Madam Chair.
That concludes our witness list and questions and comments from the committee. I am closing the public hearing on House Bill 2819. Mr. Alanak, any other business before we adjourn for the day?
I believe your agenda is completed for today.
Thank you. We're adjourned.